of service for a long, long time. Of course, the ideal highway is supposed to be like that, so we can drive safely, get to our destination faster, safer, all these things. And Jesus, before he came, God was telling us that he prepared his way so that he could do his job. So the first point I want to share with you is we are called to be construction workers. Construction workers. As we prepare a highway in the desert, and I want you to see the message actually in verses 2 and 3. It's a hidden message, you can say, because he didn't tell you right away. Unless you are Jewish people, you know the background, then I think it will be easier for you to see that. As the beginning of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then Paul and Mark quickly moved back to the Old Testament, and then remind us that the importance of this messenger that will be coming. And he just wants us to see the preparation is very important. He's inviting you and me. In 700 years ago, before John the Baptist came to the picture, it was the book of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote down this, chapter 40, verse 3. He was telling to the Jewish people that the day of redemption is coming. Because as you know, Isaiah chapter 40, God was talking about he was prepared to bring his own people from exile back to the homeland, to the promised land. And do you know the story and all this history behind it? You know, the northern kingdom was destroyed, and then the southern kingdom was destroyed, and then all the people were taken into captivity, moved to Babylon. And God said that you will be there for 70 years, and after 70 years, I will bring you back. So the book of Isaiah is telling people that, you know, prepare, God is coming back and will rescue us from the bondage of slavery and move us back to the freedom that we enjoy and the promised land. And people in those days, it's very much like us. They moved to Babylon and they actually settled down. As you see, as you know, they have actually pretty good life in the Babylon area, the empire. And many Jews found their roots. They settled down, they enjoyed the life there, even though they were captive. And they may not have freedom to move around or leave the country, but they lived pretty good in Babylon. People began to forget that they were in captivity. People began to enjoy the life in Babylon. Sometimes we do the same. We settle down, we enjoy the life, and we forget. We forget that we are in captive. We actually is not free men. And this announcement, proclamation in Isaiah chapter 40, declared that God is coming to rescue his people from captivities and move them back to promised land. Because of this, he called his servants to prepare this way so that he can bring these people back to promised land. Can you see the picture today? A lot of our friends, families, they live a good life, and they may not realize that they are captive. They may not realize that they actually living without freedom. They live pretty good. But God is calling. He wants to rescue all these people back to promised land, the homeland. And he's calling you and me to join him, join the Baptist, and prepare the way so that God can take all these captives from bondage to freedom. The message is very simple, but you might not see it until you're like a Jewish people. Then you would get that picture right away, going home. But do you know the situation over there? When this happening, God was taking people, ready to take them back home. Many Jewish people chose to stay. Actually, majority stayed in Babylon. They did not move back because they enjoyed so much living in Babylon. They have a house, they have a field, maybe they have business, and they are doing pretty good. They settle down, they have kids, they don't want to move back to the place that kids might never seen before. A majority of them actually stay behind. But this rescue mission is from God, and He is going to do it. He's going to rescue those who are willing to go with Him. And going back is very difficult. As you know, the journey will be very difficult. That's why He called upon people to prepare a highway. Not this one. Because you cannot move with this, bunch of people. And He's asking us to prepare this so that He can bring His people back to the promised land. And I think this is the first message in verses 2 and 3, the message from the Old Testament, but this is what God is inviting you, calling you and me. 2,000 years ago, John was the one. Now, the invitation comes to you. Because we still have a lot of people living in a very comfortable life, but they might not realize, or they forget that they are not in a free situation. They are still bound by all this. We call it sin. And God is calling you and me to prepare a way. Well, before Christmas, we are singing hymns, prepare ourselves for the Christmas. So how do you prepare Christmas? Well, for Christians, from time to time we say, oh, slow down, don't spend all your time shopping. Not only you get broke, you have no more energies by the time Christmas comes along, and then you just want to stay home and sleep in and sleep through the Christmas. Or you hear pastors say, well, prepare. Okay, spend some time reflecting the meaning of Christmas, but I want to go one further. The preparation is to get ready to help others and receive God's calling. Call upon His servant and say, prepare a way so that He can bring people to this promised land. And what will your response? Will you join this crew? My question for you is, will you join this crew that prepare a way so that God can bring His people back to the homeland? The second point, quickly, I want to share with you is learn from our first construction worker, John. John, I studied the other books, and his message, this is a message of Isaiah. God was about to rescue His people. Sorry, I forgot to show it to you. Message of Isaiah, God was about to rescue His people from captivity to freedom. He was calling upon His servants to prepare the way. Not just sit at home reflecting, those are important, but I think this is the ultimate calling. Prepare the way that God can use us so that more people can come back to the promised land, the homeland. Second point is this message from John the Baptist. If you look at the other books, so I just gather the message that he was talking. So the first one is repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Because he said that, a lot of people, as you know, came out from Jerusalem, the land of Judea, and came to the river of Jordan and received this baptism of repentance. Because that's what he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. After 400 years of silent years, the Jewish people never heard God after Malachi. And for 400 years, there was no active voice for God until John the Baptist came to the picture. People were longing for something. The Pharisee told them to follow the law, do this, and you will be able to be okay. God is going to accept you, all these messages. And they knew deep down in their hearts, they are still longing for something that is coming. So after 400 years, John the Baptist say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Do you see the urgency? For the kingdom of God has come near. When was the last time you thought about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? When was the last time? We are so busy doing church ministries. We are so busy in the meeting. We are so busy looking after our family. We are so busy getting a boyfriend or girlfriend. And we are so busy trying to build up a career. We are so busy of this and that. And I just want to ask you, when was the last time you are thinking about this sense of urgency? The kingdom of heaven has come near. I think many of us just live for today or for tomorrow or 5 years from now. But we lose that. As a Christian, we also lose that sense of urgency. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And people respond. People deep down in their hearts, they have a hole that need to fill. And you know that. And they need an invitation, just like Baptist, John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And people respond. And they all came. And then people challenged him, his teaching. And the Pharisee came, tried to be baptized. And John the Baptist rebuked them, the scripture described in Luke. And then he said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Brothers and sisters, I call you brothers and sisters because I believe you are Christians. And this is the second message from him. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Because those Pharisees that want to be baptized, John was saying, your life did not reflect your belief. Your life did not reflect who you really are. Brothers and sisters, this is the message for you too, for me. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. How many of us living a life that our faith is just part of it? Sometimes it's big part, sometimes it's small part. Because this is what you believe. You believe religion or Jesus is just part of your life. It's not all of your life. And very much sooner or later, you will live a life just very much like Pharisees. Either you are to be legalistic or someone who doesn't care anything anymore. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. That is the message from John. And the third one, of course, people asking him, are you the Messiah? You know, are you the prophet? And he said, no, I'm not. Not the Messiah. He who comes after me is far greater. He's pointing people to Jesus. You see, what we do a lot of time is we are pointing people to the church. Come to church. Somehow when you come to church, you will be okay. I don't know why people, I talk to brothers and sisters. Why don't you just share the gospel? Why do you have to bring people to the church, somehow expect him or her to become a Christian? Not the Messiah. John knows his role, his calling. He who comes after me is far greater. Don't tell people, you know, our church is beautiful. You know, look at our building. It's awesome. Look at our lobby, you know. Our selling point. What are we selling? Selling a location. Or selling you. Well, you have a bunch of loving people. They just dying to love you, so just come in, okay? Are you pointing to Jesus? When people ask you, who are you? Why are you doing all this? Another message from John is not verbal. And I think this is very important. I want you to get that. How did Scripture describe what, how he dressed and what he eats? The book of Isaiah saying the messenger will be in the wilderness, prepare the way. And John, when you find him, he dressed like what? Homeless people. Doesn't fit. We are middle class and above church. Every one of you, most of you, well educated. There's nothing wrong to be well educated. But we just love to blend in. We don't stand out in our workplace. We don't stand out at home. We just want to be one of those people. But John the Baptist, he looks like a homeless. People looking at him, well, he's our place. But what did he do? He was fulfilling, purposely fulfilling God's calling to his life. Get this, brothers and sisters. God was calling him to prepare the way in the wilderness, and he responded by his life, not just words that he preached, you know, those messages. He lived out what God expected him. Do you? Do I? You dress well, I dress well like this. Every week we come back, we sit comfortably, we are here. But how many of you actually talk to homeless people and serve them, like John? I have done this for years, serving the homeless people. They are just like you and me, seriously. They are hungry for respect. They want you to know that they really want dignity too. They want to be cared for, loved, just like you and me. If someone like John walks in, how do we respond usually? Pastor, someone walks in, cameras pointing at him. Make sure we capture his face, just in case. Brothers and sisters, may I invite you to consider to be part of this construction preparation work so that God can bring his people from captivities to the promised land again. And he's inviting you. And he expects us to move into action, not just message. John was preaching, it's important, but he also lived out the way that God expects him to be. Ask yourself, God, am I ready to live out the way that you asked me to? You know, a lot of time we ask you, we encourage you to step out of your comfort zone. May I introduce a new term to you? I already said it once, a couple years ago, maybe a year ago. I said, don't step out of your comfort zone, because you step out, you don't feel comfortable. You come back into your comfort zone. How about the other term? Expand your comfort zone. So that you don't feel fearful when you are talking to some people that are not like you. Mission. Mona, this is your first time. After a few more times, no problem. Because you become part of your life, part of your Christian faith. So I encourage you to go for missions. I encourage you to go to downtown. I encourage you to live out the way God called us to be. May I introduce a new team to you? This is not promotion. This is not commercial, okay? But I want you to know that we take this seriously. The scale, angle scale, from minus 10 to Jesus, remember that? And then from Jesus to plus 10. COT, community outreach, we are trying to reach people from minus 10 right here never wanted to do anything with church. They hate religions. And we are trying to help them to get to closer to like a seeker, because church usually doing pretty well from seeker on. So COT wants to do this gap. -8, -10 to maybe -3. Once they are interested, they are willing to come back into church, we are doing pretty well. And then they accept Christ. And then they move on. We have Sunday school, we have small groups, we move people. And then sometimes, usually, we stop right here. +2, +3. And this is not what God wants us to be, I think. God continues to want us to move, go to +10. That guy truly hates religion. He has nothing to do with religion. +10. All his life is about God. And we want people like that. So may I introduce a new team to you. 2018 discipleship team will be led by 3 elders. And we're going to move people further down the road. Not just hating religion, -10, but come here, truly devoted, respond to God's calling, to live out the life that God is preparing for us. And yet, not for commercial, we just want you to see that the church is also doing all this preparation work, because we believe we should be involved, we believe we should move people from -10 to what God calls us to be. Let's pray. I'm going to bow your head. This message, chapter 1, Mark, verses 1 to 8, the beginning of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, actually is a proclamation of invitation. Invite you and me to be part of this important work. Prepare for our Lord Jesus, that so that people can have a chance to meet him, to accept him, and to become a Christian.